So, you know, the web page or whatever is just something that you guys do for fun. Do you have a real job?
Well, that is our job.
Oh.
We don't technically get money for the hours we put in, but it is our job.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
How come you don't have any money? I thought you had a paper route.
Well, I'm taking a sabbatical to focus on my pottery.
Oh. How's that working out?
Not good, Meg. Not good.
Well, you have a line in one of your posts where it says, is the UFO cover-up more about leading certain people to believe there's a cover-up than there actually is one?
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know, I mean,
it's a masterful observation. It's like, you never hear that. you rarely hear that offered. You know, some of the folks that I talk to, you know, some of the folks that you talk to, the people that read your blog and stuff, the, you know, to steal a parlance from my friend Greg Bishop, you know, the excluded middle here in this UFO field, we're talking about it, but you never hear it. It's not part of, like, some big UFO event, let's say, you know. There's no UFO conference. No one's making a presentation like famous UFO events that were probably the government messing with us, you know. People don't want to hear
it. Right. No, it's not something that they find interesting. And, I mean, I don't know if we can pass through this subject without bringing up James Carey on again. I have appreciated the research he's conducted into the 1946-47 era and presented. And I mean, that's just something that the investigators aren't doing. They're just not going to the archives and pulling up the notes and the memos. And clearly there was a deception operation taking place during the Ghost Rocket fiasco, and it's his work has largely been ignored. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think that one of the reasons that he was shown the door at MUFON or resigned, you know, amid a bunch of toxic turmoil at that time, he was investigating Russian and the way that the UFO community could have, and in all likelihood, like Greg Bishop has shown, you know, was manipulated. And I remember watching those presentations, and you could just hear a pin drop as he'd go through the stages of what he had shown, because people were just like dumbfounded that this wasn't this MUFON. I thought we were going to hear about aliens, you know, and he yeah. was headed in a different direction with it. And absolutely. I find that interesting. That is something I've become fascinated in, is the intelligence community's involvement in it. And yeah, a point I wanted to get to is, He's written about how, Carry On has written about, like you touched on, people generally don't have the slightest idea how intricate and involved a deception operation can become, and the things that the intelligence community will do in order to execute situations and reach objectives that we can't begin to even guess what they were, almost, you know. By like, one of the things that comes to mind, I enjoyed that movie Argo, that 2012 movie, because I thought, wow, you just have no idea. Like, if you had found out the CIA bought a script in LA about intergalactic war, you would never connect that to an exfiltration in Iran, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but absolutely. There's a lot of things in the sky, drones, all kinds of things now. There's no telling what all people are reporting, seeing.
Yeah, well, it makes you wonder almost, like, if a larger percent of the UFO phenomenon was really like government machinations, and it got hot and heavy as the Cold War was going on. But then as the Cold War was ending, it just kind of like spiraled out of control. And that's why it got so sloppy at the end. And how we know about stuff like Project Beta and things like that. It makes you wonder if that's really what... and that's why we don't see much about UFOs anymore, because it's like, that was strictly a Cold War operation. You know, it makes you wonder.
I think so. Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think I should also, again, though, emphasize, doesn't mean that people have not experienced strange things.
Hmm, right, right.
I just don't think they're connected to extraterrestrial visitors. I think that in the 40s and the 50s, some deception operations were employed, and I don't think that the powers that be even necessarily intended for it to take off like it did. But then different organizations and investigators did get involved, and they had different motives, as we've been discussing. They had every reason to make it more about extraterrestrials than not. And I think you're right that there was a lot of deception. It didn't necessarily have anything to do with extraterrestrials, and it caused the whatever phenomena may have actually been involved. Like to try to make it a little more simple, I used to say, I think the Greys have been framed. You know,
exactly.
Think.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that. Yeah. Where it's like, if maybe the aliens did show up in the 50s and 60s, and were just so disgusted by how ridiculously people use this all that they were like, forget it, they're not ready for this, and left.
Oh yeah, man. Like, I thought about the problems that, like, because of all that happened in the science fiction genre and all the runaway MUFON assumptions, if they were now to discover intelligent life revolving around a distant star, that would almost be reason for a cover-up now, because people would leap to unsubstantiated notion, well, there they are, that's who's been coming, and that
wouldn't
necessarily be so, so yeah, It's complicated. It's fascinating. Absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like, who'd want to be the alien when he landed? And then they're like, why are you abducting us, man? And then he'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We haven't... no one would believe the poor guy. So.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, you have the extreme belief camp that, every time there's a scientific article about another exoplanet's been found or something, they want to promote that as indicative of alien visitation. And one of the things I think that kind of parallels that is, in the 1970s, the mind control camp, the targeted individuals, the people that think they have been victimized in these covert projects, they actually experienced disclosure. In the 1970s, there was disclosure that CIA programs had been going on at a number of, some 140-plus institutions. And that doesn't mean that everyone that claims something happened to them is right. And I think that we could kind of parallel that with, if we had some kind of disclosure about an alien visitation 10,000 years ago, or something else that like I was just using the thought of maybe finding life on a distant planet.
Right.
That doesn't mean that everything Stan Romanek said is true.
Oh,
you know?
Jesus, I hope not.
Yeah, I was trying to find who's the right person for the analogy here. Right.
Oh, my God. Stan Romanek's the wrong person for everything.
That's a story.
Unsettling story in a lot of ways. I I mean, I don't even really want to get into sort of like kind of like with the Emma Woods thing. I really don't even want to get into the nuts and bolts of that case, but I do find the reaction of ufology to be troubling and unsettling in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
There are far too many people that just leapt to sort of a conspiratorial bent, or immediately were like, this is a grand conspiracy, or were like, we stand behind you. I said this on a previous show. Someone on Facebook was like, all of ufology stands behind you, Stan. I was like, dude, don't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, shut your mouth, sir. Shut your mouth. Like, you're not. All of ufology does not stand behind Stan Romanek. I'm sorry, but this is crazy
right.
talk. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of selective interpretations. You know, that seems to kind of be the theme of our discussion. Like you touched on earlier, you know, the scuttlebutt about the researchers sharing information. And that was something I delved into when it came out, you know, some of the witnesses at Rendlesham had been concerned about David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins and Colonel Holt and the lot sharing information. And I did a blog post on that, and Carol Rainey was open to my inquiries and assisted with that, and I appreciated it. And I mean, we can pretty much conclusively show how this stuff is not treated carefully, stuff being the files of the witnesses and the possible abductees, and the tapes are shared, and there's information leaks and contamination of witnesses that are told what other witnesses are experiencing. And I get asked why I want to conduct character attacks. And it's like, I don't think I did. I think I was just demonstrating that they're not using proper release forms. They're having trouble figuring out what's consent and what's not. And anything that's perceived as not holding these icons and you know, priest-like status is called a personal attack, you know?
If some researcher says, you know, if I feed all these people milk and their toenails grow faster, and if you ask to see the results, it's not character assassination. That's asking to see the results.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. It's not, again, it's not rocket science. It's just UFOs. I don't understand how
right.
these people don't get it. And you made a great point, and I kind of used it to segue just a bit into the Romanek stuff. But it's like what you're saying here. You know, even if like they find something, I worry about that in a sense, because then you're right. There are going to be people in ufology that are like, they could find a worm on Venus. And people in ufology would be
right.
like, we were right all along. It's like, no, dude, what are
absolutely.
You? And again, the UFO buffs who love to be titillated, they're going to come marching along for the ride. And that's a scary thought. It goes back to what I've said before on the show. I think I've said it on the show. I've certainly said it in conversation with people off the air. And that's just that I don't even know. There's a part of me, with the exception of people like that I really care about in the UFO field that have become friends, there's a part of me that's like, I don't even think ufology deserves to know the answer at this point. It hasn't done the work.
Yeah.
So why should it get to know the answer? It's like, it's our job to figure it
out.
It's not our job to get the government to tell us.
No, and what makes us think that there's anybody that knows, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, We're almost asking about a negative. Like, if you could show me all of the cases, like if you went to the FBI and the CIA and the Department of Defense and said, you can show us all the cases you fabricated and then we'll take the ones that are left. Well, then they'd still just have to shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know. How should I know what you know, Hilda in Iowa saw? How should I know?
Right.
It's going to require money. It's going to require competent research and investigation, salaries. And then it, like we've said, it's going to require the right questions. And, you know, again, to touch on Project Core there, they posed some of the right questions at the end of that initial study, and that if you've got people that are claiming to have repeated experiences, then it's not as random as we sometimes think, you
right.
know. And there's various studies that could be done, but a lot of times the researchers, the investigators, the icons that like the status quo, that don't want to point out the inconsistencies and contradictions by David Jacobs and in the work of the late Bud Hopkins, they don't want to upset the status quo, and they don't want to move on from their old theories. And a lot of stuff could be done now. There's new information, there's new technology, there's new ways to test DNA that could be done that they're just not doing. And this doesn't require a $3 million grant from MIT to do some basic follow-up that, like, I don't know how David Jacobs tries to, how he can even still try to sell us that you know, hybrids are breaking in people's houses and all of this. And,
yeah.
Well, call the police, you know, I mean, get some forensics in there. Good grief. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah. I think I made the point before on the show, you know, we've been using cows as a food source and whatnot for centuries. And it's like, at some point some cow has killed a person. So it's like, if you reverse the equation, if all these aliens are messing with us all the time and we're just the dumb cow, at some point we should have gotten lucky by now and taken out an alien.
yeah, if it
you know
were all,
I mean,
nuts and bolts, absolutely.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, I was thinking about this before we started talking, and it's developed this way as we're talking. It's like, this whole mystery is so confounding that you almost have to create this false framework, maybe false framework, but a straw man is the best way to put it, a straw man of the ETH, in order just to even have a base to stand on to try and understand it. Do you know what I mean? And then it turns out we very well could be wrong about the entire foundation we're standing on to try and figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy, and it's or a good description. And it's not just the intelligence community that started it. It's not just people that sincerely misinterpreted what happened. It's not just hoaxers. It's not just insincere researchers. It's a combination of all of that. And maybe we're being visited by aliens. I just don't have any reason to believe that right now.
Yeah.
Sure, people present evidence. It's not conclusive evidence. And it could often be interpreted to be evident of a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
it's tough, like
we've said, yeah, it requires the right questions. And I think you're right that we got taken down the ET path in the 40s and 50s and 60s for a lot of reasons by a lot of different people. And it appears from the chair I sit in to have been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people may be experiencing some things. I'm not altogether convinced that what people are experiencing in their houses, in their bedrooms, out when they're driving on country roads, even has anything to do with what they think they're seeing in the sky sometimes. I'm not altogether convinced a connection has even been made between what we might call the UFO phenomenon and the abduction phenomenon. You know, I mean, there's a very small number of cases that the people actually think they saw a UFO and an entity at the same time, you know?
Yeah, let me crack open this Red Bull, all right? I don't want to do it while you're chatting. This program's not brought to you by Red Bull, but it could be. So Red Bull, if you're listening, give me a call. There you go. It's confounding. It's confusing. This whole field is a mess. You know, I've kind of gotten out of it. I mean, I don't know if you've even noticed, but I very rarely do these UFO shows anymore because it seems like there's not much to talk about. So either I'm talking with my friends who are in ufology or, you know, I'm talking with people I think that are doing really good work or both in the case of the guys from Project Core. You know, but it's like, where is it going? It feels like it's like spinning. I know somewhat where it's going in a sense because you've been in this a while. I've been in this for about almost a dozen years now, and I got mixed up. I got sort of brought in, you could say, by the exopolitics movement at the turn of the century, and I just have found that to be fascinating. You talk about betrayal. It's like that's kind of what shaped my arc on all this, you know, because when I first got into this, I was like, hey man, I had an interest as a child, but, you know, then I grew up and did stuff and, you know, went to college and was too busy chasing tail and all that good stuff. So, then I got out of college and I sort of took a fresh look at UFOs and everything. And I was like, oh, they must be really close to getting to the bottom of this. They're doing stuff in DC. They're doing press conferences. And then as more time went on, it was like, wait a minute, this is all a show. This is pro wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. There were some people I respected and thought highly of that very interested in Stephen Greer and were very impressed with Bud Hopkins and the way he conducted himself. And Stan Friedman can be a likable guy, and when he's not yelling at people, he can present some pretty interesting stuff too sometimes. And if you dig a little deeper, if you say, well, you know, show me that memo, what else do you got? I mean, besides... The biggest problem I had with the exopolitics movement was these, you know, second, third hand stories. Somebody saw something. I don't have the name. Same with a lot of the abduction people. We've got anonymous people that were hypnotized that, aren't even going to be named in the book. And there's no way to follow up on it. Now, granted, some of the exopolitics is interesting. You know, some of the people did come forward, do have credentials, are willing to give their firsthand account. But I certainly understand your point of view that you felt betrayed. And you see it on the news now and then, and you think, wow, this is really interesting. And then when you really get involved and you look at the people's websites and you go and you hear them speak and you see some of the antics, it can be very, very concerning, disappointing.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if it says more about Congress or more about the exopolitics folks, but they seem to be the only people that have any faith in Congress to do anything. So
yeah,
they're the only people left to have faith in Congress to get anything done, and it's the UFO thing. It's like, dude, no one, what are you going to Congress for? They're, you know, talking about MUFON being impotent. You know,
and what's all that about? That like you're telling us that these people lied and were killing people and everything they could do to keep this secret for 70 years, and now if they said, okay, just kidding, we should believe them? You know, I mean,
right.
Like the very people that you're telling us have orchestrated this dastardly cover up is who you demand to give you confirmation of something. Just doesn't make any sense at all. doesn't make any.
Right, right. It's, I feel like maybe the, you know, I hate to, I always try to offer solutions here on the show, you know, it's like, if the amount of effort that was expended pestering Congress about this was maybe turned around and aimed at pestering academia, maybe we'd have some, maybe we'd have some traction there, because it doesn't seem like, you know, this doesn't seem like
well,
is a viable tactic, let's say, after a dozen years.
Yeah, like, I did a blog post at one point where I was like, if the disclosure people were really concerned about disclosure, why would they be going after Congress to the extent they are and pestering the White House with all of these FOIA requests and whatnot, instead of like going to Whitley Strieber that claims to have an implant in his ear? You know, like, shouldn't we want to get him talking to us? Or, you know, back at that point in time, you know, Greer claimed to have an alien in a box and all of this crap. And so there's so many targets they could work with or want to work with. But instead, yeah, there seems to be a intent to keep the myth unsolvable, the story unsolvable.
Mm-hmm.
Ask people that won't answer instead of people that will.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ask people that won't answer instead of those that will. I like that. Yeah, well, it's like the point I made with Tyler on the show a couple weeks ago, and it was a rehash of a previous point that we had sort of beaten to death, but it bears mentioning. It's like, it's these people that say they're hybrids and stuff. There's medical ways to prove that. So if you're a hybrid, why don't you prove it? And it's, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
That's,
I mean, and if you're MUFON or Steve Bassett and the exopolitics folks, you know, you want Congress to listen? Genetically prove you've got a hybrid. Do the work.
Yeah.
Do the work.
It's difficult for me to see anything to conclude from that other than they're afraid it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right, that's a better example, you know, than Mr. Strieber is. We have people getting on the radio claiming to be breeders. You know, we've got people claiming to be abducted, to have been used in placing embryos in their bodies, claiming to be the you know, like you say, a hybrid being themselves. And yeah, I did a post where I asked Barbara Lamb about that, and you know, she claims to personally know some, and I asked, you know, any independent third parties done any work on that? And she told me she was busy. Busy was why she didn't have time to talk about that. And
too busy to change the world.
I mean, what do you say to that, man? What do you say to that?
Too busy to change the world, I guess, you know? I guess
that
doesn't make
any
sense.
People should certainly empathize, if nothing else, with why I've come to be very doubtful of the whole extraterrestrial, what do we want to call it?
Mythos?
Sure. that's as apt as any.
Well, you know something? It's less a hypothesis nowadays than it is a mythos, because I don't see anyone trying to prove that, you know. It doesn't a hypothesis require scientific investigation? Isn't that the whole point of a hypothesis?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's another thing that you know, like you mentioned Dr. Koch, John, that many people have competently pointed out is that they're not making any effort to either falsify or validate their hypothesis. And, you know, absolutely, you could conduct forensic experiments at the scenes of the crime. You could test the people that claim they're hybrids. You could you can do, you know, these people that claim to have had a fetus disappear, that can still be seen for, as I understand it, years and years after the fact, with just a blood draw can tell significant information about such circumstances now. And they've definitely had science past the mystery of their claims. You know, in the 80s and the 90s, these things couldn't be checked, and they can now, and they're not checking them.
Right.
And, you know, one of the big problems, like David Jacobs has been in recent years, like in an interview I did with him in 2012, and as I understand it in some of his recent presentations, he is now presenting the notion that these hybrids made by the aliens are so much like humans that they virtually can't be told apart. And, you know, I have a couple problems with that. One, you know, besides the obvious that, like, well, you haven't examined one, so how would you know that? Another problem, you know, like, let's verify they exist before we discuss their physical makeup. But another problem I'd have with it is, how old are they? You know, like this wave of hybrids that are just like people, if they're even 20 or 30 years old, well, then that would mean since you started writing about this stuff. So how'd you miss it all this time? And, you know, there's just so many problems with these crazy, unfalsifiable ideas that are being put forth that I don't really know where somebody's going to head with it from here. I think that's why they're not, that, you know, there don't seem to be younger people coming in trying to take the torch and go with it.
You mean abduction research or ufology?
Yeah, abduction research mostly.
Yeah, it's
hopefully. Yeah. I mean, you got to falsify these hypotheses. And they're clearly not interested in trying. And you'd think they would be jumping at the chance to validate what they've claimed for decades has been going on. And for them not to be willing to even try certainly should be considered suspect, you know, at the least.
At the least. If you're talking about a lady who thinks that her baby was taken from her and you don't go the extra mile to do, like, the testing or whatever, and you just kind of encourage that idea, then that makes you kind of a pretty messed up individual. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why would you do that to someone?
And you know, who I hold most responsible for stuff like that are the so-called investigators that, like, I can kind of empathize with witnesses that, you know, They went to a presentation and they met some people and they ended up in meetings and they, you know, maybe they got with a hypnotherapist and all this stuff, and whatever did happen to them is you know, just adding insult to injury, as now they're traumatized further by being called out and called liars or hoaxers or whatever. And the people I really resent about that are the ones that took them and encouraged that story and saw benefit in having this entourage of alleged hybrids around them and whatnot. And I have a lot of problems with that from an ethics point of view. And
there's a real ethics problem in ufology. Well, I guess abduction research more so than ufology, but ufology has a lot of issues in and of itself. Excuse me. We're nearing the end here, so do you mind going a little bit over the couple hours? Because I feel like
I do not.
All right,
I
this
do
is a
not.
Real firecracker of a show. I'm having a great time, and I feel like my brain is exercising talking to you tonight on the show, so I'm really enjoying the conversation. Did you ever get a copy of the Bill Moore 89 speech?
I did get a copy of that. I sure did. I managed to get it on DVD and have watched it, and I find it very interesting. I enjoy it a lot. There's also on that same DVD, a presentation by another gentleman, Bill English, that, boy, those were the days, weren't they? They were just shooting from the hip with both guns about aliens and spooks and disinformation, and it was the Wild West of info and disinfo at that time, for sure. I think it's a fascinating time in ufology.
Yeah, it's a remarkable era, that's for sure. And you took the words right out of my mouth, because I was going to call it the Wild West, because that's definitely what definitely what it was. The whole like aviary era was pretty amazing. And those people are still obviously some of them from the aviary are still, they're still kind of big time players in the field. And there's some that are on the periphery still that are like, you really kind of want to know what you want to hear from them today. You know what I mean? I'd love to know
yeah.
I'd love to hear an interview with Bill Moore and find out what, because I'm sure then, you know, talk about titillating. I'm sure you'd get some insights there that no one had ever heard before about what was really going on back then.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'm not sure how much we'd know, you know, as compared to we'd just know what they tell us.
Oh, yeah.
But it would still be interesting to hear. One of the things I enjoyed about the video presentation was you're able to hear the people yelling in the audience. Mm-hmm. And they were, suffice it to say, they were quite unhappy with Bill Moore casting doubt upon the alien bases underground and all of this stuff. And it's a fascinating chain of events. And
go ahead.
I've got my doubts about, even in the intelligence community, how many of them saw the lid of the puzzle box, as compared to are just told to do this or told to do that, and don't know why, might not really even care, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's really an interesting cultural phenomenon at this point. And, you know, is there anybody anywhere that really could tell us what the hell happened, you know, between like 1960 and 1990 in the UFO field, you know?
Oh,
I don't know that there is.
Right, exactly, because it's such a mess. It's like a ball of Christmas lights coming out of the attic, and then you don't even know. You're talking about generations now have passed. So people that were mucking about with all this stuff, like in the 50s and 60s, are either long gone or barely talking. And the next generation, it was so well covered up and concealed and sort of like twisted and into all these, you know, knots and everything, that the next generation probably has no idea what's going on. So it's
right
to turn to the government and expect them to tell us anything is foolhardy in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to, at this point, be given the same scrutiny as we give anybody else. It's going to take a lot more than just a spokesperson taking the podium and explaining something. I mean, we're going to need to see verification and evidence available for public review and all of that.
Yeah.
Just like with anybody else.
I mean, if I, you know, far be it for me to make predictions, but if I could sort of foresee, if there was ever going to be like any situation where things changed, it could definitely be, I feel, a situation where they just, like you said earlier, you know, they're like, oh, we found a, we found life on another planet, but it's just little life, you know? Sort of like wean us off this UFO mythos, the ETH mythos, and then sort of rebuild into whatever the hell the reality is, if there is a reality of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem like it'd be the strangest thing in the world if they find bacteria on one of Jupiter's moons or something like that.
Yeah.
It appears to me that's a matter of time.
Exactly.
I don't know if it'll be in 10 or 20 years like they're saying, but it's tough to imagine it's not at some point in time. I'd even have a hard time imagining there's not intelligent life out there somewhere. I don't know.
Well, you know
it's
interesting in a sense, too, because we talked about this for a while on the show. It's like, there's the old sort of idea that once, you know, assuming or whatever, if or when or whatever, again, disclosure happens. In the scenario that disclosure happens, that ufology dies, essentially. That could possibly happen even if they did just say they found a worm on Venus. You know what I mean? Because then it would be like, okay,
yeah,
put the toys down, because we know there's life out there. Let's go find it or whatever. And stop worrying about these silly alien stories we've been talking about for generations. Because now we know for sure there's life out there. Maybe there'll be like a rush to get out there and find better life, if you will.
Yeah. Another scenario that's similar that kind of reminds me of is, as you know, it just falls the culture, whatever, you know, people aren't talking about spaceships taking them on their camping trips anymore, and it just, you know, just stops being promoted. Yet people like, you know, some, I know some, we've been friends with, are friends with, that have these, you know, something weird happened stories. As that might become studied more in parapsychology circles or psychology circles, or something might happen, that it just becomes a different name. That it's just a matter of context, like whatever has been going on, if there is an actual phenomena at the core of it, certainly didn't begin in 1947.
Exactly.
And it's going to do what it does or doesn't do, whether we call it a UFO or an alien abduction or not. And I wonder how culture will notice, you know, like I've often...
Go ahead, you can wrap it up.
I've often thought that this, you know, is kind of comparable to the witch trials and just a big misunderstanding, and, you know, the governing body had reasons to promote it, and, you know, it's... It could be viewed a lot of ways as things continue.
Absolutely. Well, we're about to lose the live audience, so I want to thank all the folks in the chat room. You started out quiet, but then you got rocking, and I appreciate that. Sue Johnson, Vamp Elvis, Kimberly Reck, Lemberg, Alfred Lemberg, our mutual friend, was in there in the chat room as well.
All right.
Yeah, my buddy Chris Pinio was there. So thanks to those folks in the chat room. Thanks to all the folks who tuned in live. Be sure to grab the MP3 from Banal of America. It'll be out tomorrow, because... Jack and I are going to talk a little bit about what's next for him and probably, you know, muse some more about the state of ufology. So there's going to be some more after chat coming at you in just a few moments on the MP3. Thanks to everybody for listening, and I guess, you know, stay tuned for more. Like I said, Jack, this is a real firecracker of a conversation, so I really enjoyed it.
Well, I have too. Thank you. It's always entertaining to me and informative to talk with someone that is well read on the circumstances and, you know, open to possibilities, but you know, like they say, not so open our brains fall out, you know.
Absolutely. Now, You teased on your blog. First, I got to give you kudos, dude. What I really like about the UFO trail too is, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. But there's like this rush to sort of like glamorize everything, or sort of like, you know, go crazy with graphics and layout and design and all that. And it's just like the UFO trail is just straight up information, awesome information, well researched and, investigated articles and presented there for people to see. You know, like when I was putting together the little graphic for the show, it's like, you guys don't even have a logo. That's how hardcore you guys are at the UFO Trail. By you guys, I mean you. You know, you don't even have a logo, right, man. That's how badass you are.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm also happy to tell you I am in the process of writing a book on the kinds of things I blog about, and I pretty much view it as just an extension of the blog, like a bunch of chapters that could all be just blog posts kind of thing, and that aren't on the blog. And I'm exploring alleged alien abduction and intelligence community and hypnosis and just kind of how it all spiraled out of control and to where we are now and the kinds of things we've been talking about tonight. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And I really appreciate that you've had me on and that you appreciate the blog, because I know you have a large sampling of people in the UFO community you've talked to and been aware of and interviewed. So I really appreciate that you like the blog. Thank you.
Oh, man, you have no idea. I'll be honest with you. Going into the show, I was nervous because I hold your stuff up to such high level of, like I said, results-oriented. That's the name of the game here on the show. And it's like you seem to have the same mindset about this and accountability as well. And it's like I hope that I can live up to what Jack Brewer expects from the people in this field, because, that was my concern going into the interview, where it's like, oh, Jack probably thinks I'm an ass because I do Michael Jackson death hoax shows, but, you know, I'm serious about this stuff. I want to get to the bottom of it, man.
I like people with a sense of humor. I don't have any problem with all of that kind of thing. If I had a pet peeve, it would be that people separate their opinions and beliefs from what they represent as that they know.
Right.
And that man, that could just change the world, couldn't it, if we even made an effort. And I think that's really the bottom line, is what I think about things and what I feel about them and what I suppose, as compared to what I can show. And like we were talking about earlier, a researcher doesn't have a right and shouldn't be respected if he expects you to take his information as conclusive, as the gospel, as true, as fact, when he hasn't demonstrated it to be. But sure, just talking about, you know, UFOs or aliens or mind control or what we think or what might could be. Sure. I mean, I'm all for speculating and wondering and even, yeah, joking around and having a good time. But when it comes to calling something a fact and expecting someone to accept it as one, we should be able to demonstrate that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I take issue with the whole idea of people saying they know anything about this field, because we really don't know anything. We really don't.
Not much.
We really don't.
No, not much.
I like to call that ufology's dirty little secret, that they really don't know anything about UFOs, as far except for the fact that people see them. That's really about all we
know.
Yeah. And we don't even know, like you were saying earlier, it's, you know, these things could be, I don't want to say natural phenomena, because it could be alien in the sense that it's like an intelligence that's not of this earth. But that doesn't mean it's like from Jupiter.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, and I don't know. I don't know what people see. I don't know what they've experienced. Don't want to try to tell them. I have found, though, that there's a lot of material on memory that's not discussed widely in the UFO community. Elizabeth Loftus comes to mind. It's just done some fascinating work on the way memories can be misinterpreted, and I don't know, man. I think that the UFO community would be well served to take more of that into consideration, but of course they don't, for the reasons we discussed of trying to keep the status quo, and rather than finding answers, they're trying to perpetuate mystery. And everything has an explanation, whatever it's going to prove to be and however strange it might be.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well,
everything has an explanation.
What about this argument? Because I thought about this, you know, while we were talking about it tonight, and I see it in a comment on one of your – it came up as, like, most recent comments on UFO Trail, and it kind of resonated with me because it sort of raised that concern. And it's also something that I've talked about with Greg Bishop in the sense that he's like, you know, we just need to let abduction research die, which it is dying anyway. It's pretty much dead. But it's like maybe we should – because this comment's, you know, like why – the only way to stop all this nonsense is to stop talking about it, even negatively, you know? Like maybe we're doing a bad thing by even raising the issue of how dead it is and how it's a wasteland. And but I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily – I see that point of view, and I – you know, that concern resonates with me. But at the same time, it's like – I think the issues surrounding how this whole field of research went down is worthy of discussion. It needs to be discussed so we can be aware of it in the future in other possible realms.
I agree with that. That's what I think. I think there's some merit to not giving things attention. Like, I haven't posted about the Roswell slides out of somewhat of a feeling of that, you know, just what is there to say, you know? And at the same time, like you're expressing about UFO research, as I do these shows and I make these posts, a lot of people tell me that they didn't know about stuff. Almost every time I do something on the Woods case, I get people that didn't know about it yet. A very small percentage of the community knows anything about the Carpenter affair and the extents of what all happened in the Leah Haley case. And so from that perspective, I think some of the primary issues need to get repeated every few weeks or every few months.
Yeah.
Because people do keep coming in to the community wanting to know more about it. And I think that there needs to be some places that are pretty credible, pretty good places to get this information. Where no, we don't have to just harp endlessly about what's wrong with everything. But I mean, as long as these guys are getting invited to venues to speak, I think it's reasonable to keep pointing out some of their history that they're not talking about, you know? And,
exactly,
and
yeah.
What's flawed about their research methodology.
Exactly. They're getting positive publicity still, so it's like something needs to counteract that. There needs to be a watchdog effect in a way. Now, you know, as I said with the very beginning of this conversation, it's like sometimes I read the blog and I'm like, "You're really, you're like you pointed out on one of them. People were like, "How can you say that about Bud Hawkins? He's a saint. He's a saint." It's like you're really challenging the orthodoxy here of mainstream ufology. Have you received any backlash from anybody in ufology, where they're like, you know, either aside from like trolls in the comment section, you know, that are just like anonymous and say crappy things. Has anyone in ufology been like, hey man,
that's a good question? And yeah, I have. And a couple of people I never was willing to address publicly because I felt like that definitely fell into the category of addressing it gives it more power.
Mm-hmm.
One individual I was working with actually had an event that they found concerning enough to notify the police, because in the event anything came up again later, they wanted the police to know. It had to do with some hate mail.
Jeez.
That was snail mail hate mail that was clearly done to demonstrate that they were aware of their physical address and, you know, that kind of thing.
Ooh.
And so there's an aspect of it that's concerning, that we are sometimes dealing with a traumatized demographic, where we're dealing with people that kind of decide that the ends justify the means. And if I recall, Dr. Vallée, in one of his books, had a case that he identified as a hoax, that he thought the people sincerely believed in aliens enough that they thought that justified the hoax. That, you know.
It, yeah.
And so, yeah, I have gotten some backlash, some of it that I found more concerning than others. And at one point an associate that I was conducting some research with was concerned enough about it that they informed the police of some mail they had received.
Yikes. Yeah, that's just creepy. Well, you know, like I said, you kind of threaten the orthodoxy of ufology, but ufology's, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it. Well, I feel like I've stepped away from it enough now that I've gotten the perspective on it, where it just feels almost quaint in a way. It just doesn't really. It's kind of like you said earlier. If you're surrounded by people all the time that are in it, you kind of take on a different mindset. And so now that I've kind of gotten further out of it, I look at it and I'm just like, oh, these are just like old white dudes, hobbyists who have nothing better to do than, you know, spin yarns.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, it's kind of, if you look at it that way, like I said, it's kind of like, it's like a Rotary Club or something.
Yeah, that if you take it to other demographics, like people that aren't just submerged in the whole UFO subculture constantly, then they read some things into it that, you got the old white guy, you got a lot of misogyny
mm-hmm.
going on, you got various things that if you're not just indoctrinated and become blind to it, that, you know, you realize there's people that are just running around hyperventilating about one topic or another that get this energy and everybody agreeing with them, and they just make it their reality, you
right.
know. And yeah, when other people take a look at it, sociologists, psychologists, even just casual observers that go, wow, I can't believe he won't talk about the Emma Woods story while he's interviewing this guy and telling him what great work he does, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going to, I don't know if anything can fix this crazy field of UFO studies. You know, it'll fix it, an outside sort of entity, like I said, academia or something, finally turning its attention. Like, I don't think the people that really have tasked themselves with the chore of solving the UFO enigma, they have failed. That's the, that's the sad. And if any, I'm sure people have listened to the show over the years and have seen me grow more and more cynical. And it's like, I'm sorry, folks. I don't see how there's any debate. over the fact that ufology has failed. It's had 50-something years. If we say, by their standard, that it began in 47, they've had 50, 60-plus years to solve this. They haven't. You know, at what point do you fish or cut bait, right?
Yeah, you definitely do. You definitely do. And that's why I kind of wonder what the next phase of pop culture might evolve into, that whatever, you know, people are reporting has been going on a long time, and I don't know if there's something legitimate to it, if it's something in an objective reality, if it's, you know, elaborate, complex Jungian Freud stuff. I don't know, but it's going to keep going on, whatever it is. And I kind of wonder what people are going to call it, because I agree with you. We definitely need to cut bait on the alien abduction. I mean, technology and science has surpassed the mystery of it. You know, we know a lot about what's out there and what's not, and we can check these hybrids and these people and these scenes, and we just don't have any reason to really think that hypothesis holds merit anymore. And like you say, you got to check a hypothesis now and then. You can't just hang on to it for 30 years without ever falsifying it or validating it.
Yeah. Well, when you have books to sell and tickets to sell, I guess you can justify it, right? I think that's the subconscious level.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Sometimes I wonder, you know, if a lot of us, you know, that are find the conspiracies interesting, like me, a lot of things we can demonstrate about the intelligence community and people on the fringe of it and the hoaxers in ufology. But sometimes the conspiracies just come out of thinking people couldn't be as unintelligent as they appear, like you must be deceptive, you know, to have such a harebrained idea. And sometimes I think we just give them more credit for intelligence than they might have deserved. I think you're right in that sometimes they just like attention and want to sell a book or just want to be a speaker at a UFO convention or something. And there's so many different reasons that people say and do the things they've done over the years in this genre.
Now, have you ever taken... There's a part of me that, like, would love it if you took a look at some of these other genres in a way, but have you ever, like, because, you know, I'm a big Bigfoot buff, have you ever sort of looked at anything beyond UFOs and abduction stuff, you know, at the seedy underbelly of these other genres?
I've looked at Bigfoot a little bit. I was following Sykes' work, and then I guess he's kind of run into some difficulties lately with his theories. I saw a paper that was posted by a group in, I believe it was Oklahoma, that were writing about rocks being thrown and beatings on their cabin walls, and they had been working at this study for quite some time, and some of it was kind of off the wall, and they seemed to raise some good questions as well. But so, yeah, the answer to your question is I have looked at some of it. I think the ghost genre is kind of interesting too, and that kind of stuff, they're either faking or they're not. I mean, it's not as complicated as UFOs, and if you got a picture of, you know, light or mist or a human figure in the room, you either hoaxed it or you didn't,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, the ghost stuff is tricky, you know, it's a real tricky, I've been really critical of, like, sort of the ghost hunting idea, just because if you just took that sheer amount of people that are out ghost hunting all the time, they should have come up with something better, proof-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was at the Arkansas, the Ozark UFO conference in 2012, when it broke up, I went over and spent the night at the place that's billed as the America's Most Haunted Hotel, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was interesting that it was a completely different mood, a lot less ominous than the UFO convention. A lot more fun. I enjoyed it. But yeah, from a serious investigative perspective, that didn't exist. It was, you know,
yeah.
Stories and, you know, they want people to stay in the hotel, but I did enjoy it a lot. It was a lot of fun, and it's a creepy old building, you know, it's a creepy place that has, you know, plenty of stories and arrests surrounding it, and, you know, it was fun and interesting. It was really interesting how different the genres were. Like, after I just left the UFO community,
yeah,
that, you know, is the ones of them that aren't afraid of the aliens are afraid of the spooks in the crowd.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
go over to the hotel, and it's much lighter, and people talk to one another and don't seem as fearful, you know.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I remember being at a conference like that, and the guy I was with was insistent that there was government agents in the audience, and it's just like, again, it goes back to, like, you don't know that. You're just what are you talking about? You're just paranoid, man. Oh my God, I find it hilarious that, like, the mood was more upbeat and chill at the haunted hotel than it was at the UFO conference. It's like, dude, we got this dead people hanging around.
It was wild that, like, we're taking pictures, and I took this tour, and this guy did, and he was quite talented at what he did. He told good stories. He was fun. And it was a group of, I don't know, maybe a dozen of us tromping all over this old hotel. And we were talking and joking with each other, and yeah, we had a really good time. It was a good group. And no, I mean, at the UFO conference, it's serious stuff, you know, serious, serious stuff. And it was night and day.
Pretty crazy.
But what do you find interesting about the Bigfoot? Are there any particular researchers you would recommend?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, to recommend to look into, to sort of, like, see what the cutting edge stuff is or something?
Yeah, like, what do you find interesting about the Bigfooters?
Oh, I just find the mythology of Bigfoot so interesting, sort of the idea that there's this possible, like, giant ape running around. I think mostly that it's, like, a lot easier to sort of wrap your mind around than aliens, you know what I mean? With the UFO thing,
yeah.
Like, we had Brad Steiger on a bunch of times, and he's like, you know, he has a list of, like, 23 things that aliens, that the UFOs could be.
I'm familiar,
you know?
With it, yeah.
Yeah, and with, like, Bigfoot, it's, like, percentage-wise, it's, you know, you can break it down into, like, maybe four categories. You know what I mean? It's like hoax,
yeah.
Real animal, or interdimensional thing. You know? So it's, like,
yeah.
More easy to wrap your mind around. And to me, it just, I don't know. I've got kind of, I like animals. You know, it's like that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little more, to me,
yeah.
It's a little more fun. But I don't know what, you know, I don't really know what the state of Bigfoot research is right now, to be honest with you, except there's always, like, all these hoaxes, it seems, nowadays, and there's always, like, infighting and people fighting over stuff and blurry footage. It's kind of like in a it's in sort of a childlike state or something, you know, where, like, their material isn't that good yet. I don't know what they need to do to figure it out, but it's in the same kind of way as ufology. It's spinning its wheels, you know, and I don't understand what needs to be done about that. So, and, so I find it pretty interesting. I've always, since I was, like, a kid, since I was, like, in third grade, I think, I had, like, a fascination with Bigfoot. So who knows where it, you know, Who knows where it comes from? Probably some some horrid childhood memory that I'd rather forget. I have no idea, honestly, though. All right, so I'm going to let you get going here in a minute, but let's talk a little bit. When can we expect the book here? Yeah, I think you said it and you teased it. That got me off the track, actually, because then I got into how you don't have a logo. But I wanted to mention, you know, other people, they're writing a book. It's like the top blog post, you know what I mean? They're like, the book is coming. Everyone get excited. I'm writing a book. With your stuff,
yeah.
You just mentioned it in passing at the end of a blog post. Like, if I hadn't been paying attention, I would have completely missed it, where I was like, I did a double take. I'm like, wait a minute, did he just say he's writing a book? So, you know, kudos to you again in that sense.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I expect to be finished with it in a few months. It's coming along well. I'd say I'm about a third to a halfway through, and it's about things about hypnosis I find fascinating, from like the 1940s to present, some even before that, how it even came to the West, and research of alleged alien abduction. I find it just fascinating, and the ways, the intelligence community things overlap in and out of ufology, and sometimes it's tough to correlate exactly where that's happening, to identify exactly what's happening or put a name on who's responsible for it. Yet at the same time, we can certainly see an influence that the intelligence community has had again and again and again. And so, I'm enjoying working on that, and it should be available in a few months. And I'm sure I will be writing more about it as I get closer to putting it out, but yeah, I did at this point just want to mention it and let people be watching for it. And
nice.
Hope that they enjoy reading the blog and that they want to see more of what's on the blog, because that's the kind of material that will definitely be in the book.
I want to see more of what's in the blog, for sure. So, absolutely. Do you have a title for the book yet, or is it The UFO Trail?
I do not yet. That might be a good title. I do not have a working title yet. I don't, no.
And final question, I guess. What is the significance of the name, the UFO Trail?
I didn't really have another name. You know, when I first started the blog, it was really because of my interest in the Leah Haley case. And I wanted to write about the things I was finding out from interacting with her. And it's just kind of where it all winds and where it goes. It's kind of like a path through the dark woods, you know, that you really don't know what's on either side of the path. And sometimes maybe kind of our imagination's worse than what's even really out there, you know.
Oh, man, that could be summed up for the entire paranormal field. Well, if you don't mind, Jack, I'm going to do the plugs. That's going to take about 3 minutes. Can you just stay on the air? I wanted to talk to you a little bit after the show, do sort of an off-air chat. I want to ask you something.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
All right. So to plug once again the blog, folks, if you're not reading this blog, you're really woefully ill-informed about what's really going on in ufology, and that's probably the best endorsement I can give for the UFO Trail. It is required reading for any serious student of the UFO phenomenon, especially anybody who swims amongst the ufologists. So check it out at ufotrail.blogspot.com. Jack, I cannot thank you enough for this program. It was fascinating. Like I said, I feel like I got, I feel like I bench pressed 500 pounds with my brain tonight talking to you.
Well,
I really have enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, I'm just going to throw my plugs here, and then I'll end the show, and I'll just chat with you for a moment afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio, this is Banal of America. You can find out more from us at banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L of America.com. We're also on Facebook. Just punch in that same name, Banal of America. Like us if you want to, and you'll have all kinds of access to inside info and callbacks and news and stuff like that about Banal of America there on Facebook. This is like my worst financial time of the year, folks, and I made it what I thought was an impassioned plea last week at the end of the show for donations, but maybe it wasn't as impassioned as I thought. But we really could use your help right now, and seriously, it would be great if you could help us out, because the show's free. I mean, I paid to get us on Blog Talk. I pay for the archives. We got 250-something shows there going back almost 10 years now. And it's absolutely free. Anybody can just stumble on it, and they've got probably at this point thousands of hours of audio freely available to them. And that's all via me, and I pay for it, folks. I do pay for it in a lot of ways. So if you could help us out, that would be just enormously appreciated. There are two ways to do so. You can head on over to Banal of America and click the PayPal button. That'll take you to PayPal. They'll walk you through the process. It's safe, secure, and simple. But if you don't trust the internet and you want to do a snail mail donation, there's also a P.O. Box address. You can find that at Banal of America. On the next edition of the program, I can't even tell you who it's going to be just yet. I've got like three guests lined up. I just got to push the right buttons and make sure I line the right guest up. I can tell you for sure it won't be next Thursday. So probably maybe next Friday or maybe next Wednesday or maybe next Tuesday. I don't know. But we're going to have a show next week. I'm pretty sure of that. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe next Saturday. But we'll see what happens. And I'll announce all that, of course, at Banal of America and BOA on Facebook. So stay tuned. But I'm almost 90% sure we'll have a show next week. And if not, we'll have one the week after. Because like I said, I got about three folks here who are just waiting for me to shoot a date and time at them. And we'll all sit down and chat. So with all that said, 2.5 hours here with Jack Brewer. Unbelievable stuff. Like I said, a real firecracker of a show. Thanks to all the folks who tuned in on the live program. Thanks to all the folks who are downloading the MP3 right now and listening. Thanks to the newcomers to the audience. Anyone who's visiting us via the UFO trail, head on over to Banal of America. Dig into that archive. Just about everybody you can imagine in the world of ufology has been on the program in the past. So a whole host of interesting names discussing a whole host of interesting topics in the BOA archive. And of course, thanks to all the hardcore, ardent BOA listeners, the folks who have been with us for so very long. Thank you for your enduring support of the program. With all that said, once again, thank you for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, my friends, this is Tim Banal, signing off.